You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Pooped. Now, before you go jumping to conclusions where I'm going with this, if you look the word up, it means fatigued or exhausted. I don't know what you were thinking or where you were going, but that's what the word means. Go to Genesis chapter 2. I am certain that you, like me, from time to time, that is the only word I could come up with to describe how you really feel, pooped. There's just not much better word. Genesis chapter 2. It's amazing what can happen in the Bible in one chapter. And look at chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. Within one chapter of the Bible, in the beginning God, and boom, you've got the universe. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. Now, was God pooped on the seventh day? The answer is no. An all-powerful, omnipotent God cannot be exhausted, cannot be tired. So if it says he rested, what does that mean? Keep reading. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And we'll come back to that a little bit later, so remember that. So what does it mean that he rested? It's a word, Shabbat, and if you're Jewish or have Jewish friends, they celebrate Shabbat. It's sundown on Friday, then you got Saturday, and if they're Orthodox, they got to be in, and I got to be careful how I tell this story, but it's such a big deal. When I was in the diamond business, I had a particular dealer friend who I won't say his name, but he would come see me on a Friday, bring a stone that we needed to show someone, and he would get panicked the later in the afternoon it was when he got there. And one day, it was getting close to where he would not be able to make it home. He was Orthodox, had to make it home, you know, to shut down by sundown. And so he hands me this little package with the stone, and I'm not going to tell you what he said, but he said, "Here, Richard, sell the GD stone." So he was in a hurry, and that was his way of rushing me. He says, "Sell the blank, blank stone." And I stopped him. I won't say his name, but I said his name. And I said, whoa. I said, "Now, just so I understand." And he knew I was a Christian. I said, "Explain to me how that you're rushing home to make it home for Shabbat, and you just told me to sell the GD stone." He said, "Oh, did I say that?" And for him, he had no idea what he had said. That was just a phrase. And for him, not saying this about all Jews, but for him, he was so entrenched in keeping the rules and going through the motions like any other religious person can be, that he was oblivious to the fact that he had taken God's name in vain that way. So we get running along, working, doing our thing, and just performing, basically, going through the motions, and we don't know when to stop. And the thing about God is he knows when to stop. Do you know when God stops? When he's finished. When Jesus said on the cross, tetelestai, basically, it is finished. Why did he say that? Because it was finished. What needed to be done had been done on the cross. So there is a time to stop. And part of what we're going to talk about today, the reason you may be so pooped is you don't know when to stop. And you go and you go and go, and some of it gets mixed in with this Puritan work ethic that we've been raised with, that you got to keep going, you got to keep going, you can't stop. And you got to perform, you got to make more, you got to do more. And it's all about what we do and not so much about who we are in America. And my contention is, if you ever figure out who you are, it'll change what you do and how you do what you do, and whether you'll have the ability to stop and have some balance. So if you don't know when to stop and how to really stop, you'll be in trouble. Now this word here, Shabbat, means this, to repose, that is, desist from exertion, used in many implied relations, to cease, to celebrate, cause to fail, suffer to be lacking, leave, put away, rest, rid, still, take away, stop. So it's not that God was tired, he was finished, and so he stopped. Now, for some reason, this is built into the system, stopping. And I know a bunch of people, and I have been this person, and I ended up in a facility because I did not know how to stop. Because I pushed it, and I pushed it, and I pushed it. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Now, this is such a big deal that it gets inserted in the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger. You can't even work your cows. Nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day, meaning stopped the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So this stopping is a big deal to God. Now let me just ask you here as we go along. When do you stop? And do you think you even have permission to stop? Now we'll jump ahead a little bit and let me just insert this. If you do not have a working relationship with God, the Holy Spirit living in you, where you hear him, and when the alarms go off, you respond to the alarms, you're going to plow it into the ground and burn out. You will end up beyond pooped. You'll end up sick. Now you say, well, but we're going to end up lazy. If you're living this kind of life, you're far from lazy. You may not be very wise in your production, but if you don't have anywhere that you stop, it's not going to go well, and it sets a terrible example. I grew up around religious people who did not know how to stop. And so what they emulated to me was, you go, you go, you go, you go, serving Jesus, go, go, go. And at 20-something years old, I'm burned out. They didn't show me how to stop, how to rest. In any kind of outlet of any kind, I've had preachers, that's a waste of time. You should be, studying, praying, something like, now that I look back on it, these were probably some of the most screwed up people I'd ever met. I just didn't know it because I didn't get close enough to them to find out what was really going on. You cannot keep going without rest. You cannot keep going without stopping. Go to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Now you say, well, why is this in the Bible? This is different than God stopping from his work. Now this is talking about, well, what if God falls asleep on me? What if he decides to take a nap? And that's why my prayers aren't getting through. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So he's not off the clock. He's not sleeping, slumbering, tired. He's paying attention. He knows everything about you. He's taking care of you. Now you say, but he's not doing what I'm asking you to do. Try this on for size. Are you doing what he asked you to do? We don't like it that God doesn't do what we ask him to do. Before you even go asking him for anything else, run this by him. Just want to check, am I doing everything you've asked me to do so far? And then let's get into what I need you to do for me. Because sometimes what we need him to do for us is a result of what we were unwilling to do for him. He said, this is what I want you to do. These are the choices I want you to make. This is where I want you to stop. This is what I want you to cut back on. Whatever its specifics are, and you go, well, no, I'm not interested in that. I want you to bless my mess. where I don't have to change, where I don't have to do anything different. I want you to fit in to me. I'm a Christian, so come live in me, but don't be changing me, because I still want to be me, and you just get to ride along in me. Go to Isaiah 40. I read this recently in another message. Isaiah 40, 25. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. So now it's tying back to what we read in Genesis. See who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. So it seems like there's a theme here that people think, well, God's just not paying attention because he's resting. He's asleep. He's old. I mean, he is old. I mean, I guess he's not really old. There's no time in heaven. He just is. Like, no matter how much he does, he never gets tired. He stops when he finishes, but he doesn't get tired. So he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Okay, so now you say, well, I'm interested in that. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But where is the difference? But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So what does that mean? You don't do something without him, and you don't do it without his permission. Talk to God. You say you're tired. Part of the reason you may be tired is you're not waiting on him in the first place. He's not tired. So you got a question? Say, Lord, what about this? Part of the reason we don't like, you say, well, God's not answering my prayer. I would say way high percentage of the time, God is answering your prayer. You don't like the answer. Why don't you try going to God with your request and saying, look, I'm open to adjustment on my request now. So here's what I was going to bring to you, but what do you think? And all of a sudden you hear, nope, don't need you asking about that anymore. That's not going to happen. I didn't like that answer. At some point, you get more interested in what he wants than what you want. Now, what if you woke up every day and you took a deep breath and you said, wow, now this is if you're a Christian. You got the Holy Spirit living in you, and you wake up and you go, okay, Lord, this is the day that you've made. I'm going to rejoice, be glad in it, and here we go. And all of a sudden, the world starts pulling on you and saying, hey, come over here and do this. Help with this. Volunteer. Do all this. And you don't ask him what he thinks about all that. You go, oh, okay, I'll take all that on. And then you're exhausted. You're pooped. You're done. And the stuff that he really had for you to do, you got no energy to do because you've been chasing all this other stuff. Stop for just a second and say, Lord, is that what you want to use my life to go do? And if you get a no, say, wow, that sounds very exciting, but you know what? I'm going to have to pass. And then all of a sudden you end up with all this energy going, wow, how did this happen? Because you know when to stop. Now, because I ended up in a facility, burned out, fried, I have alarms that go off inside me now. Now, it's the Holy Spirit, and I don't always listen. You say, well, but you know, you just seem to stop along the way. Absolutely, because not stopping for me is too expensive. All right, go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, let's jump down to verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And then he says this, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, let me give you the words here. For labor, the word labor here means to feel fatigue, by implication to work hard, labor, toil, be wearied. You are pooped. That's the Greek actually is pooped. So it's not, do not quote me on that, please. I'll get all kinds of letters. Come to me, all you who labor. And then the word heavy laden means this, to load up, like as a vessel or an animal, like to load stuff on someone. to overburden with ceremony or spiritual anxiety, laid, be heavy laden. So you're tired, you're exhausted, and it feels like it's just gotten piled on. It's too much. You're tired. You're cracking under the weight of all that. So what is the answer that he gives them? Come to me. If you ever learn to come to him, to go to him in the first place, you don't end up in some of these messes. So he allows you to get exhausted. He allows you to get overwhelmed. And then you go, I can't take this anymore. Come to me, if that's your situation. And what does he do? Come to me, all you are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if you figure out to do his will and to do life his way, you don't end up fried, pooped like you've been ending up. You say, well, yeah, but I would still be physically tired maybe. It is amazing. If you talk to people who live life in a balanced way, the way God intended, they can serve him and they will tell you when they get done serving, they almost feel rested from doing it. Not, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. This is a whooping, you know, oh, I'm done. It's almost like it's reinvigorating. Why? Because you're not doing it by yourself. You've gone to him and he shows you. You take his yoke upon you and you learn how to do it his way. Anybody that does any kind of physical labor will tell you there are ways to shovel. There are ways to do all kind of manual labor where you don't wear yourself out, where you use leverage, where you just do things that are wise. Jesus knows how to work. And you don't see any scripture with him just like, I can't take it anymore. You know, you're going to have to take, you know, I'm done. You don't see him running. I'm not saying that's to use that biblically for not exercising, but you don't see him running. He's calmly going about his business and he gets it all done. How does he do that? Because he does whatever he sees the Father do, whatever he hears, that's what he does. Now, what if we ran 1 week like that? Wake up on a Monday morning and say, okay, Lord, let's try this your way. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? You say, well, he wants me to go to work. Go to work. You say, my work's really stressful. Go to him before you go to work. Now listen to me. You say, well, what does that mean? That's what he said. Come to me. So you go to him and you say, Lord, I know what this day is probably going to be like. He says, yeah, I know. Why don't you stop what you're doing and let me do it in and through you? Get under my yoke here. I'll show you how to do this job, or when you get home, it's not going to have been a whooping. And see, when you go to him to begin with, then your day changes because you're working differently, and then your attitude is different, and then you're paying attention to the opportunities that you have, which are really one of the main reasons he's got you there in the first place. But you're so exhausted from the work that you can't have the conversations and the relationships that people need to have with you. All right, go for a minute back to that Genesis chapter 2. So down in verse 7, he said this, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, so takes dirt, forms a man, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So now you got a human being, because God breathes life into a piece of dirt. Don't take that too far, but that's what it is. Now go to John 20. Now some people who understand racing or exhaustion, any kind of physical thing, talk about this word. They say, you know what? If I can just get my second wind, I can keep going. Let me read you about a second wind. John 20, verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So what happened? The Holy Spirit goes from being around them to being in them. That's different than being alive physically. And by the way, the word here for breathe is a current of air that is breath or a breeze. So what happens when you become a Christian? You get your second wind. The Holy Spirit is breathed on you, which means you receive that and you breathe him in. Now, it is a dangerous thing to get comfortable, too comfortable with who God is and where he is, and to lose your awareness that he literally lives in your body as a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian yet, this is something to think about, because you got breath, but you don't have the second breath. And you can read in Hebrews, we may have time to get there, but in Hebrews it talks about entering into a rest. You will miss an eternal rest if all you have is one breath. You get that second wind, you get that second breath where the Holy Spirit, you become a Christian and the Holy Spirit moves in and he lives in you and through you. That will change your life. Now, my experience in dealing with lots of Christians is they don't know how to hear his voice or hear it and are unwilling to do what he says and therefore have said no so long to what he says that they think they don't hear it anymore. Now, did everybody understand that? You may be hearing God way more often than you think. You've just tuned him out because you don't like what he has been saying, and he's been saying maybe the same thing for so long, you're tired of hearing it. Well, I want God to reveal something new to me. You're not doing anything with the one thing he's already said. What do we do as parents? You know, the kid says, can I go do this? They say, have you cleaned your room? No, not yet, but I want to go do this. And it seems like we're just beating a drum on clean your room. Why do you keep talking about cleaning my room? Because you haven't cleaned your room. My gosh, how complicated is this? We'll go to the next request when you fix that one. So stop for a minute, if you're a believer, and say, okay, Lord, what is it? I am running through my whole life, and there is stuff, or maybe one thing that you have told me, instructed me to do, and I told you no, and I've been praying about all these other things, and don't get any answers. And it may be because I've locked up with you on this one thing. Let me give you some suggestions. If you're sleeping with someone you're not married to, I promise you the Holy Spirit has said, stop sleeping with that person. If you're doing drugs that are illegal and you're a Christian, I promise you the Holy Spirit has told you to stop doing what you're doing. If you're stealing from your employer or the IRS, I promise you the Holy Spirit has prompted you to do the right thing. And you say, oh, I don't want to talk about that stuff. Because that's where we live. He gets very specific.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. Or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Now, if you're exhausted and you're not a believer, you're pooped, you're done, you got to get your second wind. It's not enough to be alive physically. You have to be alive spiritually. And the Bible describes all this as literally being born a second time. The only way you get on this planet, including Jesus, he was born of a woman. That's how he came to the planet. So the only way to get in the physical realm is birth. The only way to get into the spiritual realm, the kingdom of God, is birth, a second birth. And until you get that second birth, you will never have the rest that you are looking for, the peace that God promises, that the Bible describes that passes all understanding. You can't even explain it, begin to understand it. So amazing. If you want in on that, you got to get in on having him move in you. But he will not move in unless you do it on his terms. And you say, I'm a sinner. I get that. I know I need you, God. I can't pay for you to come live in my house. But I believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead for my sin. I see that eternal life is a free gift, abundant life, a free gift. I'm a taker on everything you're offering, Lord. I take it. Breathe on me, in me, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And then teach me to walk in a way that would be pleasing, not just to me, but to him primarily. And find out through scripture, as people teach you, what it is he has you to be, and then what he has for you to do out of who you are. He is way more interested in who you are than what you can do for him. Because a lot of people are doing for God that aren't for God. In Hebrews, especially chapter 3 and 4, it talks about entering to the rest. And for the rest for the people of Israel was the promised land. And the reason they did not enter into the rest is that they did not believe. And the reason we don't enter into the rest, whether it's in heaven one day because we don't believe, or even in the rest that he intended for us as Christians today, is that we don't believe. We don't believe it's possible. and we will not cease from our own stuff, our own works. There is a big difference in me working for God or me acknowledging that God lives in me and letting him work through me. And he's not going to wear you out. He's not going to exhaust you. You don't end up pooped his way. You end up rested somehow at the end of the work.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.